Hello, friends. Today is our third Sunday in our sermon series, Like It or Not. We're talking about life as we are together in this pandemic and things that we have to do, like it or not. And last week we talked together about what it means for us to serve under new conditions, to love and care for others under new conditions. We talked about the idea of holding together the notion of loving other people and doing no harm. Today we're going to be talking about a gift that we're given whenever there's a hard situation. And we're going to be looking at a conversation that Paul had with one of his churches about how he learned from one event in his life that was really hard, a lesson that helped all the events in his life that were hard. Before we dive into that, I've had an interesting set of conversations this week with people. And as you might expect, and you've probably seen this yourself, come to see that people have both the normal highs and lows of life, as well as this overarching set of feelings that we're all dealing with regards to the pandemic. So there are people that are celebrating wonderful things happening in life that would be happening anyway. Everyday things that are happening is that people get promotions and people experience happy things with their families. There are pictures on Facebook of people gathered around little bonfires in their backyard, roasting marshmallows. And then there are the hard things that are happening. And they're not tied necessarily to the pandemic. People that have gotten diagnosis in their family of sickness, people that have discovered that there's a problem in a relationship, and that's the normal everyday pieces of life that are happening while we're all dealing with the side effects of the coronavirus situation that we're in. And so because we're all dealing with hard things, and some of us are dealing with hard on top of hard, I wanted us to look at a promise and a principle that Paul uncovers for us in Scripture as he tells his own story. Now, the context for this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is that Paul had been given by God through either a vision or a dream, a picture of who God was and some information about God, some experience with God that no one else had had. And he doesn't say everything about it, he just describes that he had this experience. As a result of it, he said, he was feeling pretty special. He was feeling like he was unique and set apart in some really important way. And the scripture says, as he tells his personal story, beginning in chapter 12, verse 7, from the Message, says this: because of the extravagance of those revelations, the dreams, the visions that he saw with regard to God, and so I would not get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. So he says, I found that I had a new handicap in life. And he suspected that part of its purpose was to keep him humble, to keep him in his place. Now, I am not comparing what's happening with the pandemic to this case. What I want to talk about is what Paul learned in this case, and that it helps us in our situation. He says, Satan's angels did his best to get me down. What he did, in fact, was push me to my knees. He said, I had something hard happen to me. It was probably physical. He talks about a handicap. Another translation says a thorn in the flesh. Many scholars suspect that Paul was losing his eyesight, whether because he was getting older and didn't have readers like I have, or glasses, or whether he had some sort of infection or a physical problem that happened to his eyes. Many people, when he writes this story, suspects that he was losing his eyesight. And that's the handicap that he's referring to. And so he says that while the evil in his life tried to discourage him and get him down and drag him down and make him feel horrible, he said what it actually did was push me to my knees. I was forced to come before God in prayer and to bring myself before God doing this. And he said, let me read it to you. He says, so there was no danger of walking around high and mighty. He says, at first I didn't even think of it as a gift, and I begged God to remove it. He says, I did what I oftentimes do when hard things come into my life. I just said, God, fix it. Fix this thing. And let me just be very clear up front. We're often told that when we have problems in life, that's what we're supposed to do. We're asked to pray, to come before God and say, would you please heal this thing, this person? Would you please fix this brokenness? Would you please enter and bring peace, would you please calm this storm? And that's oftentimes our first directive in Scripture. And Paul did that. In fact, he did it three times. Because one of the ways that God responds to our lives is to fix the problems that we have. But he doesn't always do that. And you know that. And so do I. And so in this case, he says, I beg God to remove it. Three times I did that. I asked the prayer three times. And his response was, and then he told me, my grace is enough, it's all you need. My grace is enough, it's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. So he says, with this hard time is going to come a gift. In fact, with every hard time comes a gift. Sometimes God fixes it. And sometimes he says, I'm going to give you a gift in the middle of this problem that helps you with it. And it's called grace. I'll define that in a couple of minutes. And so Paul says that response back from God, that he wasn't going to fix it, that he was going to give me grace for it, and grace for everything I need, and that it will be enough. He said that response changed me. Here's what he writes. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. Once I understood God had a plan, once I realized that this wasn't just messing up my life, it changed something inside of me. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. Now you see, Paul shifts his thinking here because he first says, I didn't see this handicap as a gift. It wasn't really the gift. The gift was grace and the experience of grace in the problem. And that's really the powerful part of what he's writing. It transformed the way I saw this experience because there was grace, there was help in the problem. And God said, I'm giving you the help, it'll be everything you need, and you'll learn that I will always give you everything you need. And he said, so I quit focusing on the handicap, the problem, and began appreciating the gift, the help. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride. It transformed the way that I see the hard things, the bad things that happen in my life. He said, these limitations that cut me down to size, and he lists how other things happened to him after that first one. Abuse and accidents and opposition and bad breaks. Even when just what we might term bad luck, he calls it bad breaks, happens. He said, I've learned that God is present to bring grace, help, support, care, everything I need, even in those moments. And he said, I've learned to just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. So what he's talking about is the fact that Paul, like many of us, you know, he liked being self-sufficient. He liked having control. He liked being able to figure stuff out and to rely on his own strengths and all of that. And he says, when I face something that I couldn't control, that limited my life in some way, or brought challenges or hardships in some way, he says, you know, My first act is to ask God to take away. And when he doesn't, my thinking has shifted to begin to understand that God is going to take this bad thing and he's going to give me the very help I need to get through it, and something good is going to happen in it. Now, that lesson is important to us because we as human beings don't like being bumped up against our limitations. We don't like not being in control. There are so many aspects of this that we don't like. And that's in part because we admire and appreciate human beings who have all those things. And we want to be that way. We admire human beings who overcome limitations and accomplish things that no one else does, that have created great works of art or done amazing things in sports or created something new in technology or brought some kind of positive social change. People that stand out in a wholehearted, whole-souled way, or people that have seemingly God-anointed talents that on the edge of humanity. And we admire it in part because we don't have it, but in part because we don't like obstacles and limitations and hardships and troubles. Who does and why should we? But Paul says, instead of becoming focused on the negative, on what is horrible about this thing, I became focused on God's grace and what God was doing in this moment, and it transformed my thinking about this. And as I've been listening this past week to people talking across a wide range, I began to hear grace and talk of grace. It wasn't the word. Grace, from a Bible standpoint, in its very simplest form, is help. It's support, it's care, it's compassion, it's empathy. But the thing that makes grace distinctive is that it's not just help, it's undeserved help. It's help to anyone and everyone. And that notion is critical because it is a lavish thing that God does. And so I've listened to people talk about forms of grace and help coming to them in the middle of all this. And some of them have been Christians and some of them haven't. It's been really interesting. So I listened to a speaker this past week say that they're working from home and they feel more human than they've ever felt at work. Because, they joked, it's noon and my college student is sleeping upstairs, but I know they're in the house. And having them there on a Zoom, even when I'm in a Zoom call, just having them in the house makes me feel more human. And I've come to realize what a gift it is to work from home. Even though it's hard, even though it has challenges, it's a new gift to me. And I don't know that I can go back to being less human as I used to be in some of my meetings. He said, the personal is beginning to overcome the professional in ways that are opening our eyes to new things. I heard another person talk about how they have gotten to know their colleagues' families and their situations better than they ever have before. And as a result, their team feels more cohesive. It doesn't mean that they have been more efficient at their work. But it does mean that they feel closer and more tied together because they've taken the time to check on the people that they're working with and their family and their life situation and their personal needs. And the gift back has been a deeper and richer time together as a team. A gift. One parent told me how staying home has enabled them to watch their child take their first steps. That they've watched that process of getting up and there's lurching and then the falling and all that happens. And they said, I would have missed all this if I hadn't been home. Some of you remember those days. Another person shared with me how they've had to rely upon others more because they can't do what they used to be able to do. A person told me I've had to have my neighbors bring in groceries for me because it's not wise for me to be outside. And so I'm having to rely upon them in ways I never had in the past. And it's doing something to me and to them. I had another person share with me how they're valuing community and family in ways that they never have before. Their eyes are being opened to how important community is, that they had taken it for granted. That they had taken for granted their family. And that they were becoming awakened to the importance of these things in their life and how they thought it was a huge gift to them. I had another person share with me that they were coming to understand how places like schools and hospitals and supermarkets and Walmart and restaurants, how the people who are working there were doing something for them that was much larger than they could have ever imagined, especially in these moments, and how appreciative they are, and how they were working to share that with the people around them. That someone as simple as a shelf stalker, someone who's stocking shelves at Walmart, has such a critical and important role in this time, just putting stuff back on the shelf, restoring it, that they had a deeper sense of gratitude and were stopping and sharing their thankfulness with those people. And what a gift they thought that was in life. I had another person who talked to me about how they have a closer sense of how God is right now in their lives and what God means to them. All of these are help. They're forms that they're opening our eyes. They are forms of grace that God is giving to us in the middle of a very hard moment. And part of what Paul is saying is that when hard moments come, we have to open our eyes and look for those things. We have to see that God's going to bring them. It's not just a lesson. It's not just a thought. It is a transformative piece of help that will not only be there for us in this moment, but will teach us how to look differently at all of our hard moments when we see that God is committed to that. In this passage, Paul is lifting up for me four things that I think are critical for me, and I hope touch you. The first is that when something hard happens, we should ask for God to help us with it, to fix it, to solve it. But when he doesn't, to look for the help, the grace that he is going to bring in the middle of it, that he is committed to always do that. My grace is sufficient for you. I will do that for you. And it wasn't just for Paul that he did it. Because the nature of grace is that whether we deserve it or not, he's going to bring us help. That's a God of love. The second thing is that we can be agents of grace to others. And we don't always feel that way. We don't always feel like we're worthy to be an agent of God somewhere else. But in fact, that's the nature of grace, is that we can be help to others in ways that we never imagined. I talked to somebody today who said, you know, they have one of their couple, and one in the couple says, you know, I make a list of food shopping for me, and they make a list of food shopping for our neighbor. And when we go to the, we do it together, we go to the grocery store together, and I get one list and they get the other. What a beautiful picture of an agent of grace, to be an agent of help to the people around them. I love that idea. As a quick corrective, and I just want to spend a minute on this, but I think it's important. Anne Lamott, who's a wonderful author and a thoughtful, creative, spiritual Christian person, written many books, poetry and otherwise, did a TED Talk on 10 important things she's learned in life. And one of them was the notion of help. And she said in it, she said, help can be the sunny side of control. What she means by that is, sometimes if we like control in our lives, well, we'll bring control to somebody else's life. And we'll do it by saying that we're helping them. And she said, be careful of that kind of help. As a matter of fact, she, tongue-in-cheek, said, don't get your goodness all over them. And what she meant was, sometimes some of us want to help just because we like to help. And we can begin getting into other people's lives in ways that aren't really help to them. We may see it as grace, but they may not. And so we need to be prayerful about how we become agents of grace in other people's lives. Is it really help that we're offering? Or is it our own needs that we're meeting? Third, the grace that God is offering is to everyone, including ourselves. And not all of us want or feel like we need grace. But Paul is very clear in another place. He is not a person who particularly likes this lesson of needing grace, but he says in Ephesians that salvation, the most basic thing that all of us want, which is to die and to know that we're going to be with God, which is to understand that we're being redeemed and that we're being created and shaped in the form of love and care and kindness, that salvation comes by faith through grace. That we don't earn it, we don't get it because we're good people. It comes because God gives us the help through Jesus, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. And that the basic understanding of that is that we all need grace. We all need help. We all need forgiveness. We all need kindness given to us. And that in addition to that salvific grace, that grace that gives us salvation, we also need everyday grace. And it's important not only to be able to receive that in our lives, to know that we need it and to receive it, but it's also important to give it to ourselves, not just to give it to others. I say that because this week I was listening to a pastor who was reflecting, and they were saying out loud on Facebook for the world to hear, you know, I was having a hard day today. I wasn't being productive the way I usually am. My heart and my mind and my emotions and my energy were not all lined up together. And I finally came to this frustrating moment, and then I paused and I said to myself, I'm in the middle of a pandemic. I'm trying to work through things I've never done before. My heart and my soul are not always in prime shape, and I have to stop and say to myself, there's grace for you too. There's grace for me. And I just have to know that I'm not always going to be as efficient and productive as I always am. An important moment, an important gift of grace when we come to realize that for ourselves. Finally, here's this. I think that Paul is encouraging us to understand a shift in who God is. That he is there for us. He's there to help us. That we're in partnership with him and that we need him. And that's really what this is all about. The gift that he's offering to us is a gift to know that we always need something from him and to look for it, to be on the alert for it, and to realize the joy of knowing a God who gives it to us, the joy of getting it, and the joy of giving it. And so as I close, I want to encourage you. Paul says that he no longer focused on the problem. It doesn't mean he didn't look at it. It says he didn't focus on it. He focused instead on the grace that was given to him in the middle of it. And I want to say to you that one of the beautiful things that God gives us is the opportunity to be open to, even to focus on, to receive the help that he's going to give to us in the middle of it. And when we realize that God is committed to doing that, it will transform not just the big things that we face, but the small things that we face, the daily hassles of life. His grace is for all those moments. And his agents of grace are there for all those moments. And so as we walk in the daily hassles, as well as the big shifts that are happening in life right now, I pray that you would begin to understand, as I do, as I am wrestling with, the lessons that Paul not only discovered, but fully embraced, and that I'm wrestling to fully embrace during these moments. That help is there, that God is there, and that when he doesn't take it away or fix it, he will provide everything we need. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for being a God of grace, a God of love, a God of care. Help us to see that in new ways during these hard moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
grace and mercy. There is nowhere we can hide from your love. You are steadfast, never failing. You are faithful. Our creation is in awe of who you are. You're the healer of the sick and the broken. You are comfort to every heart that our King and our Savior forever. For eternity, we'll sing above. For eternity, we will sing of all you've done. We sing, God with us, God for us, God make you come again. There is healing in your love. You're the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Of eternity, we will sing of all you've done. That nothing can stand between us, not death nor life, not things present nor things to come, nor angels, nor demons, nor height, nor depth, Lord, nothing can separate us from your love. We're so grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.